Praise the Lord for the Bible. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 33. I actually prepared this sermon earlier in the week for tonight. And I almost switched sermons and pulled out an old one I was going to preach. I hadn't preached for years because I thought we needed to maybe, but maybe we'll have that another time. I'm going to go ahead and preach the one I plan on preaching all along tonight. And Ezekiel chapter 33 and James chapter 4, if you would please. Ezekiel chapter 33 and James chapter 4. Ezekiel 33, James 4, you'll want to save your spot in Ezekiel after we read those verses 30 through 33, because we will come back there. And then you'll want to save your spot after we read James chapter 4, but we will read it, and then later in the sermon we will come back to that one also. But Ezekiel chapter 33, so years have gone by, I'm finding more and more, I think one of my more favorite books of the Bible is the book of Ezekiel. There's a lot of great things in there, and a lot of great sermons in there that have yet to be touched that I think can be a blessing to a Christian. Ezekiel 33, verses 30 through 33. If you have that, let's stand and stretch in honor for the reading of God's Word tonight. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 30 through 33. The Bible says this in verse 30, "Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them." And then take your Bibles over to James chapter 4. Save your spot there in Ezekiel. We're coming right back there in just about 60 seconds here, or 2 minutes. James chapter 4 and verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. The Bible says this, a common verse here, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And read that one more time. "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And tonight let's talk about being doers of the word and not hearers only. Being doers of the word and not hearers only. Let's pray, and then you may be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. We're thankful, Father, for the folks that have come. And I pray, Lord, that you bless the sermon tonight. I believed earlier in the week with all my heart that as I put this sermon together, that this would be the sermon you'd have me to preach to these people tonight. And then I almost changed my mind, Lord, and then I realized, Lord, that I'm just going to go ahead and preach this one, Father, that you laid on my heart. I pray that you'd use it now, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Go back to Ezekiel 33 when you get a chance there, and we'll get back to looking at that in a minute. The Bible has a great deal to say tonight about doing, or even the word do. But doing, we'll say. For example, James says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Now, when we think about sin, still go back to Ezekiel. We're not going to park there too long. But we think about things that maybe are something that really stick out in our mind as far as something really ungodly, drunkenness or something like that, or committing adultery, or maybe stealing from somebody, or cheating, something like that. That's what we think of when we think of sin. But God, when God thinks about sin, and of course he does think about those things too, amen, but to him, he says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." That's what that verse we just looked at said. Now, one of the problems they had in Ezekiel's day is the fact that people would hear the preaching, and sometimes they'd even like the preaching, but they didn't always respond to the preaching. They didn't always do what was preached, even if they liked it, even if they agreed with it. They didn't always do it. And I think this is very interesting. There came a day in Ezekiel's life when people liked to hear him preach, I think. There were always some naysayers. I think that's obvious in our scriptures, and especially if you look at the overall context of the book of Ezekiel and read it, there were those who didn't like what he preached, and there were those who didn't like what he said. And by the way, any preacher who preaches by the stuff will always have people like that who don't like it. But overall, I think many of them liked to hear him preach and got to the place where they even agreed with much of what they preached. Because when the Lord called Ezekiel to preach, I mean, he said to Ezekiel first, he said their words will be like briars. Well, that's not a good thing. Or he also said their words will be like scorpions. That's not a good thing either if you've ever seen a scorpion. Amen. And I mean, a scorpion, I mean, they hiss and wag their heads is what those people will do, just like a scorpion. Amen. You ever seen a scorpion? Amen. Those things are nasty. I'll tell you, we used to, when we lived in East Texas, we used to clean, do janitorial cleaning. And this place we used to clean called Samuel Strapping. And they had an office area we cleaned, and then way back in the shop, there was one office, like, or two offices way back in there. You had to go all through the warehouse and everything to get to it. And it was real primitive back there, but there was two offices in there. And I mean, I remember one time my wife was helping me clean that building, and we was cleaning there late, and I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, she's screaming. And I look, and she's got the toilet brush out. And she's got that toilet brush out, and she's got a scorpion coming at her like this, with that tail up there like that. And she's like, ah! And she's sticking that toilet brush at that scorpion, and I come in and I smash that thing. I said, man alive, I said, they got scorpions down here. And she said, she'd never clean back there again. She said, anytime I help you, she said, I'll clean anywhere in this building. She said, but I ain't going to that shop or back there to those offices ever again. And I said, I understand. I said, I always clean those offices in the back, amen. Because they got scorpions back there sometimes. She didn't like that. But so when they told him that people's words would be like scorpions, it wasn't a good thing. Amen. It's a bad thing. Well, so it's going to be like briars. That wasn't a good thing. Amen. That was a bad thing. They get a briar. I mean, they stick you and all that. They can't get rid of them stinking things. He said they're going to hiss. They're going to wag their heads at you. But I think there came a brief period of time here where they actually started to like him a little bit. I think they liked some of the things he was preaching. I think they realized he was preaching the truth, and they agreed with him. And I think they got to the place where he even said, boy, it hits it a little hard, but you know what? Yeah, he's right. Boy, it takes a tough stand sometimes, but yeah, we don't always like it, but man, he's right. We like his stand. We agree with that. We want to hear more. So, I mean, these were the people that were in bondage, folks. And Ezekiel preached to the people that were in captivity in Babylon. So they had the time period where you had the prophet Jeremiah, and you had the prophet Jeremiah who was preaching, and the prophet Jeremiah who was warning, and the prophet Jeremiah who was giving warning about Babylon coming in, or the Chaldeans coming in, taking over, and of course you had all the doubters and all that time, and then it happened, then the captivity took place. And then what Nebuchadnezzar did is he pulled all them people out that had some what he thought was value to them. Talked about it in Sunday school recently. Had talked about people that were wealthier, well-educated, and people that were craftsman-type people. People that were of maybe a craft or had some ability or skill in some sort of a craftsmanship-type thing. Your blue-collar-type people that were workers. It'd be like your carpenters and mechanics today and stuff. And in that day and age, they would have been carpenters probably and things like that in that day and age. And those people were valuable, so we're going to bring them back and put them in the land of Babylon and put them to work and use them. Well, God left Jeremiah in the land of Israel to preach to the poor that was left behind. And then he called Ezekiel. Another one was Daniel that was used. But Ezekiel to be a prophet or a man of God in the land of captivity to preach to those that were in bondage in that day. And so here he is in the captivity area preaching to the people. And here's what the people said about him, at least a portion of the time anyway. Starting with Ezekiel 33 and verse 30, is, and you can follow along as I read it out loud a little bit here, but it says, "Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee." Now, the word against you might lead one to believe that he's real unpopular with the people and getting criticized a lot. And definitely usually the word against isn't a positive word. But if we read the overall concept and text here of what's going on, these really aren't talking about people for the most part that are opposed to his preaching. I think a lot of it right here, and maybe this word against source, there is no mistakes in the Bible, amen. God put the word against there for a reason, but also can have a connotation to it, the fact that maybe they're just talking about him. Not necessarily criticizing or chopping him down all the time, but he's just being talked about a lot. And it wouldn't mean that they're all mockers in the crowd, because there's some people here as we go on a little further. It says, by the walls and in the doors of the houses. And so, preacher, what does that mean? It means they're talking about him. What are they talking about him at on the streets? What are they talking about him on the front porches and of the houses and so forth? Well, they're talking about him all around the city. That's what that means. And so he's the topic of conversation around town there. They're talking about him. They're saying, Ezekiel, they're talking about you. The walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another. It says, every one to his brother, saying, look what they say, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. So they're not just talking about him. They're telling others, you better come down there and hear him. I'll tell you what, you better come hear him. And by the way, it'll always be that way when a man of God preaches the way he's supposed to preach. People will come and hear him. Some of them will like him, some of them won't. But a crowd will always begin to gather around because they'll want to hear what he has to say. And they'll want to hear what's going on. And so he became a topic of conversation, no doubt, around the city. Maybe some aspects was negative, but I think some of it was definitely a positive manner. And they were saying, hey, you guys got to come down there and hear this guy. I'll tell you what, he's something else. Boy, you better come hear him. I mean, we've got to get you over there. We've got to invite you to come. Verse 31, and they come unto thee as the people cometh. So in other words, they're bringing some of their loved ones, amen. Some of their friends, maybe some of their neighbors, amen. They're bringing them to come hear him here, amen. Then it says, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words. But then notice this, but they will not do them. Now, I don't think it's talking about just people that hate the preacher. I think this is some of the people that like the preacher. I think this is some of the people that think he has a good stand for what's right. And they hear him, but they will not do. They will not do. They hear thy words, but they will not do them, it says. Look again at verse 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show what? This is why I think it's people that like him. But their heart goeth after their covetousness. So what's being said here? God's saying this. These are fine people. Amen. They like to hear you preach. They even like to invite their neighbors, maybe their friends, some loved ones. They love to hear you. But, Ezekiel, they do not do what you say. They do not do what you say. Folks, we have folks. Folks, we have folks. We have folks in our church, amen, that love me. No doubt some that hate me. And no doubt some that could take me or leave me. But there are some that love me and they like to hear my preaching. No doubt. They like to hear me teach. They enjoy our church. They even might invite some friend or neighbor that's around them, and they should, by the way, to come. And they like me. And even if they were to hear somebody curse me, they'd want to defend me. And they love our church. But I preach separating and they wouldn't dream of practicing it, even though they listen to it. I preach on soul winning, and I like the fact that our church reaches people for Christ, but they themselves aren't going to practice it. Or, I mean, the list can go on and on. They say, come and hear my preacher. Come and hear, that's what they were saying in his day, come and hear Ezekiel. Come and hear him. He says, they say, listen, he really lets them have it. He really preaches the book. He's not afraid to preach what he believes. Amen. I mean, he'll preach, bless God, against anybody. Amen. Even Blaze. He's against boys looking like long-haired hippies and preaches against it. Amen. He said Ezekiel, boy, he's against long-haired hippies and he's for haircuts. He's against the miniskirts on the girls and for longer skirts. Amen. He's against demonstrations against Chick-fil-A and for eating more chicken. Amen. You know what I'd like to see sometime? How about somebody demonstrating for righteousness once? Amen. Wouldn't that be a novelty, huh? And amen. Somebody. I mean, these people. These, oh, boy, these stinking, namby-bamby, pussy-footing, back-scratching, penny-pinchers, nickel-licking, soft-soaping, pink tea and lemonade-type preachers. They're ruining our nation. They're ruining our country, folks. They're a bunch of stinking pacifists is what they are, amen? Makes me sick. One idiot said to me one time years ago, visiting our church, he says to me, he was visiting here, some relatives or something. He was from California. The guy was an idiot. He says to me, Pastor, what do you do with the Bible when it says, resist not evil? Now, he wasn't just visiting from California. He said he was a pastor in California. Yeah, it was scary. And especially if you saw him. He said he pastored at, I asked him, he said he was a pastor in California, and I said, well, what kind of church you pastor? He said, I pastor a Presbyterian church with a Lutheran flavor. And exactly what that means, I do not know. But, however, I said to him, what do you mean? About his comment toward me, you know. He said, your sermon this morning about resisting all this evil. He said, I just wanted to let you know it's unscriptural. I said, sir, maybe I should have called him ma'am, I don't know. A Presbyterian church with a Lutheran flavor, I don't know. If you want a Lutheran flavor, why not just be Lutheran? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me, but anyway. He's got a zebra church he pastors, but the stripes, so nobody can tell what he is. But I said, so you're against resistance? And he said, most definitely. I said, but wait a minute, what if somebody punches you in the nose? He said, well, I'd turn the other cheek. He said, wouldn't you? I said, well, sure. I said, then when they punch me in the other cheek, I said, I'm going to knock this stinking head off, bless God. Listen, he's a filthy pacifist. And a preacher to boot, bless God, a filthy pacifist. And it's guys like that that are ruining our country. They're sending our country to hell in a handbasket. They couldn't preach themselves out of a wet paper sack, bless God. They won't preach against anything. They won't stand for nothing. They never raise their voice, bless God. I mean, these pacifists, they're taking authority from out of the policeman's hands. They're taking authority out of the school administrator's hands. They take the sting out of the courts and our laws. And Ezekiel, in his day, he was against that sort of thing, amen? He preached it. So they came and they heard Ezekiel. Look what else it says in verse 32 here. It says, and lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song. So what do they like? Whose voice? Ezekiel's voice, right? That's what they're saying there. Then it goes on, of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. In other words, Ezekiel, your voice is so good it sounds like a flute, like a violin. Some other nice instrument. And not drums or a saxophone, but it sounds like a flute. It's so pleasant. It's a nice violin. For they hear thy words, but then here it says, but they do them not. And you listen to me tonight. One of the greatest needs in America tonight is for Bible believers to do something for God. Amen. For Bible believers to do something for God. It's not enough tonight to just be hearers of the word. We've got to get to the place where we're doers of the word also, amen. It isn't enough for us just to like the preacher, amen. You should speak up for the preacher, amen. You should defend the preacher when somebody else is attacking him, amen. And listen, I defend you when they come and attack you. Amen. Why do you step aside when they attack me about my Bible stand? And by the way, some of you do defend me, and I appreciate that. But that's not enough. You must do something for God. Amen. And so these people, they would like to hear Ezekiel preach. They like his sermons, amen. But look at verse 33. It says, and when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Now, throughout all the Bible, we have a reminder here, amen, a warning against hearing but not doing. When we saw in James, the book of James, amen, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's found in James 1:22. I guess we didn't look at that one. But listen here. What does it mean? It means you can deceive yourself into thinking this, that you're a pretty good Christian. And yet, you're doing not much or absolutely nothing for God. And that's what happens sometimes. Why? So, well, I don't dance and drink liquor, and I don't commit adultery, and I don't gamble. I don't go to all the nightclubs, and I don't smoke weed, and I don't do all that stuff. So I must be a good Christian, preacher. But now James said, don't deceive yourselves into thinking that you are a good Christian. Don't do that. Don't deceive yourself into that. Don't think that you're a good Christian because of a lot of stuff you don't do. He said you can deceive yourself into thinking you're a good Christian, but wait a minute, by not doing things. But that isn't the key. He said be doers, not hearers only. Don't just come to church and hear. Don't just come and sit, but actually get busy doing something for God with your life. You ask the average person, what kind of a Christian are you? They say, well, I go to church somewhat regularly. That doesn't mean you're a good Christian just because you go to church. Well, there's a lot of things that I don't do. Listen, you're not a good Christian just because you don't drink liquor, or just because you don't gamble or dance or some junk like that, or use curse words, or and don't misunderstand me, I'm against all those things, amen. It's not like the preacher saying it's okay to do that stuff. But that's not what makes somebody a good Christian. We get that idea, now that can play a part into it. But there's more to it than that. If you were just a hearer of the word only and not a doer, then you're not a good Christian. You've got to be a doer of the word of God also. Now Jesus again and again uses the word do. For example, he says that you're foolish if you don't do something for God. Don't recall what he said, and everyone that heareth these, in Matthew 7:26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now we always think that the foolish man is the one who builds his house upon the sand because we think he's the guy that didn't get saved. That's what I was taught when I was a kid. But truly, what it really is the guy who doesn't do anything for God. That's what it is. He didn't do anything for God. It's the guy who could have worked a bus route, but he quits with the excuse of spending more time with his family. That's what it is. Wait a minute. So, preacher, what's the matter with that? That's foolish. He should have spent time working the bus route with his family. So what would that have been? Wise. Yes. Amen. Wise. The foolish man that builds his house upon the sand is building his life around and upon stuff that doesn't last. He is investing his time in fishing trips and camping trips on the Lord's Day instead of investing his time in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day, bringing his family to the Lord's house where it ought to be. Amen. That's the things for eternity. Yes. Those that don't invest in that are building their house upon the sand. They're foolish. By the way, somebody like that would be better off if they did work a bus route instead of the trout lines on Sunday. Amen? It's true. Very true. And not only is that true, that wise people do things for God, but hey folks, happy people do things for God also. Jesus said in John 13:17, if ye know these things, happy are ye that do them. If ye know these things, happy are ye that do them. The word do, key right there. That do them. Happy are ye that do them. Do you know who the complainers are in the church house usually? Those who don't do anything are usually the complainers in the church house. You know who the happy people are in the church? The people that are busy doing stuff for God. I mean, folks, over the years, we've seen them come and we've seen them go sometimes, and I've seen some of the craziest things said by people. I mean, I've seen people here that have complained and complained and complained, and they always, when something was going on, some activity that involved some work, you know, they'd say, well, preacher, I'll be there. I'll be there. And then they'd get busy in there for, oh, let's see, about 10 minutes. They'd say, well, oh, boy, we'll let some of these younger guys get in there, preacher. He said, my back's really bothering me. I'm really hurting. And I said, well, bless God, you ain't done anything yet, have you? Picking up that shovel hurt you or what? He ain't scooped nothing into that wheelbarrow yet, bless God. All he did was wheel an empty barrel from the back to the front. Now your back hurts? I laughed about it and joked with him. But the truth of the matter is this same person is always griping and complaining about everything that hurts all the time. Say amen, it's true. It's true. The ones that are busy aren't the complainers. Man, they're busy doing something, not the ones griping all the time. They're busy for God. They're busy getting involved. Amen. They're too busy to complain because they got things going on. Amen. Man, I got time to stop now. I got to get this work done for God. Amen. Doing folks are happy folks. Amen. Jesus said, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. And not only that, our Lord said to be his friend, you have to do something, amen. And I'm not talking about believing something, I'm talking about doing something, amen. I'm talking about going sowing, and I'm talking about working a bus route, I'm talking about driving a bus, amen. I'm talking about teaching a Sunday school class, amen. The doers are the happy crowd. But they're also the ones that are his friends, he said. Jesus said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So it's the doers that are Jesus' friends tonight, amen. Those who just listen but don't do aren't necessarily his friends. It is those that listen and then do that he definitely counts as his friends tonight. There was someone who recently had come and visited from a phony church here in town. And they said to me, well, Pastor, I am here for so-and-so. I won't say any names, but I said, oh, really? And they said, yeah, I'm their spiritual mentor. Oh, you're their spiritual mentor? Okay, wonderful. And I just said something like that, really, you know. And they said, yeah, so-and-so, they said the person's name. They're supposed to be going to my church. But for some reason, when the bus keeps going by this house, they keep jumping on your bus and coming over here to your church. So I thought I'd come over here and see them. He said, but they're supposed to be going to my church. And I said, well, praise the Lord. He must like it here if he keeps jumping on the bus. Amen. The whole reason he keeps coming here is because we got doers here. That's why. Yeah. Amen. After all, this lady's not a doer. Because if she was, she would have gotten him saved. Amen. He got saved at our church, not at her church. And a doer would want to get the gospel to somebody that may not be saved so they can get saved. Amen. Praise the Lord, he rode our bus here and got saved. Amen. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Then he said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Amen. So if you want to be surrendered, you have to actually do something for him. That's what he's saying. That's why that same lady saw another woman here and started hugging her and telling me that this was one of her best friends in the whole world. And yet this woman got led to Christ by one of our soul winners and got baptized at our church. But this is one of my best friends. And I said, really? And she said, yeah, we're close. And I said, well, that's wonderful. One of our soul winners just led her to Christ. This was a mentor, spiritual mentor, amen, this mentor, quote unquote, was quoting me all kinds of Bible verses left and right while she was here. So obviously she was a hearer of the word. I have no doubt about that. Of course, they were NIV verses, so that tells you a lot right there. But she was quoting scripture verse after scripture verse, so obviously she spent some time hearing the word. But the key is that you're not just supposed to hear it, memorize it. You're supposed to do it. Amen. You're supposed to do it. And Jesus said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" The Bible says it is a sin not to do something for God. Amen. Not everybody can teach a Sunday school class, by the way. I understand that. But everybody can do something for God to some degree in their life. And we're supposed to be a witness. Amen. We're supposed to serve in some area. We're supposed to even be an usher or something like that. Or supposed to work in the nursery. Or supposed to help clean the building. Or supposed to do something for God. Amen. In our lifetime for Him. And not just be somebody who's a hearer all our life and never do anything for Him. The Apostle Paul got converted. Amen. On the road to Damascus. Now, he was somebody that was breathing out, threatenings, I believe the Bible says, against the Jews, of course, or against the Christians, we'll say. And he was breathing out threatenings against them. And he was on his way, actually, to go persecute, who do you suppose? Some of those Christians, amen? That's what he was on his way to do. And so he was suddenly, the Bible says, cast down. So what happened to him, preacher? I believe this. I believe he couldn't get away from the death of Stephen. See, he was present when they killed Stephen. He was present. And the Bible says they took the clothes of Stephen and laid them at his feet. Amen. I believe it bothered him. Now, I believe when it was going on, he was, yeah, this is great. But I think it bothered him. I think it worked on him. I think he saw the testimony that Stephen gave. I think he saw the way that Stephen died. I think he saw the way that Stephen looked up and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," as they killed him. I think he saw that, and I think it bothered him. Because two chapters later, in chapter 9, we see he's cast down while he's on his way to persecute more Christians. And we see something that goes on when he's cast down. What's said in the Bible is, of course, Saul, after Stephen died, was basically holding his cloak and had it left there at him. But the Bible says here in chapter 9 that he was pricked in his heart. I believe it was Stephen's death that pricked him in his heart. He tried, I think, to forget all of that. So how did he try to forget it, preacher? I think by staying busy doing what he did, persecuting more Christians. I think that's why he was hot and heavy on his way to Damascus to persecute more Christians with the authority in his hand to do so. I think he was just trying to put it out of his mind and trying to forget about all of it. But finally, when he was hurled to the ground, it said, of course, he was named Saul then. But the Bible says in Acts 9:5 that he says this, "Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord?" Huh, that's interesting. And then the very next question he asked was in verse 6. He said, "What wilt thou have me?" Oh, this is good. "To do." Amen. "What wilt thou have me to do?" Two things there. As soon as you get it settled who he is, you better figure out what he wants you to do. Amen. Because that's the next thing, amen, is to do his business, amen. You need to do something for God, amen. Let me ask you a question that you can answer for yourself inside your mind. What do you really do for God? Amen. What do you really do for God? So, well, preacher, and I'm not talking to somebody who's just newly saved last week or something like that. And I'm not talking to somebody who's 80 years old and just barely able to make it to church. But that description doesn't fit most of the people in this room. What do you really do for God? What do you really do for Him? I mean, you say, "Well, preacher, I go to church." No. More than that, what are you really doing for God? "Well, preacher, I carry my Bible with me." What are you doing for God? Amen. "Well, preacher, I believe the Bible's true." Oh, that's good. So do the devils, amen. They tremble.
What are you doing for God? Amen. That's the question. What are you doing for God? Amen. Now, Paul had not even been saved long enough to get baptized yet. And wasn't even off his face yet. He was stricken on this road to Damascus, but he said, "Who art thou?" And always make sure you get that who right first. Amen. Better get him right. But the second part, it ain't going to matter unless you get the first part right. But once you're sure that you're born again, once you're sure that you got the right Christ, amen, the one that's virgin born, the one that's, amen, sinless of God, the one that's a pre-existent Christ of the Garden of Eden, amen, who walked with Adam, the Christ who wrestled with Jacob through the night, the Christ who was the ladder, according to the last verse of the first chapter of John, on which the angel went up and down the ladder, amen, the Christ who was the fiery furnace walking with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel, amen, the Christ who stood beside Joshua and was the unseen captain of the host, amen, that Christ, right before the battle the next day, the pre-incarnate, the pre-existent Christ, the Son of God, a sinless life, vicarious death, virgin born, godly resurrected, sits at the right hand of God as I stand here tonight. Know who he is tonight. He's the Savior of the world. He's the only hope of the world. He's the answer for the world. He's the only answer that the world needs. He is the Word. Amen. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. Do you know who he is? And once you know who he is, amen, then you got to figure out, what does he want me to do? What does he want me to do? That's what we need to figure out. I can't help but wonder tonight about those filthy, misguided communists and atheistic inspired folks who are trying, as far as I can see, the best they can to run our country into the ground tonight, to try to destroy America. I wonder what could have happened if somebody would have knocked on their door when they was a teenage kid, a soul winner, and gave them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they would have got truly born again. Amen. I wonder what might have happened, amen, if that would have been something that took place back then. What might have become of them if we would have gotten the gospel to them, amen? What about those Arabic countries that have been taken over by Muslims now? What would have happened if the gospel would have infiltrated their nations? And we wouldn't have this kind of junk going on, this false teaching of Islam. We wouldn't have had this kind of garbage going on that took place in Libya last week. We wouldn't have had that kind of junk going on if the gospel would have infiltrated their nations and would have spread across there like their stinking Islamic Muhammad doctrine has. We wouldn't have this kind of junk going on, amen? And by the way, if we had a real president, we would have done something about that too, bless God. Amen. Say like what? Like stick and blow that country off the face of the map. Amen. You stink and send the Marines in there and pull everybody that's left out, and you stink and blast them to smithereens is what you do with them. Say, boy, you're not very nice. No, I'm very realistic. Amen. I got the same view that God has. Amen. That's how you deal with people like that. Yes. Amen. Bunch of idiots. Amen. But they're misguided people. They need Christ. But now it's pretty near impossible to get them the gospel. Now it's tough. So why is that? Because you're going to be real dead. Because they're not even going to let you go tell the common person. They're going to put a pistol to your head and they're going to blow your brains out if you even try to give them the gospel over there. But I wonder what would have happened if we would have got the gospel to them before that. Who art thou? Once you find out who he is, decide what you're going to do for him and what he wants you to do. Now, Paul didn't say, would you have me to do anything? Because that would have been presupposed. It would have been. Because you're supposed to do something for God. We have fine people in our church. Lots of folks I love, and God knows I love you. But he doesn't intend for anybody just to be a pew sitter on Sunday mornings at our church. Be a lumber warmer on Sunday mornings only. God intends for Christians to do something for him. Amen. Amen. He wants you to understand, and I want to make sure you understand, that you come before the judgment seat of Christ one day. Praise God that you're saved. You'll never be judged for your sins ever. Say, why not, preacher? They were all judged at Calvary when Christ went to the cross. If you're lost tonight and you die and go to hell, one day you'll be judged for your sins. But if you're saved tonight, saved is forever. Once you're saved, you're always saved. And praise God, you'll never answer for those sins again, because they're all underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. But do understand that the judgment seat of Christ, you will be rewarded for what you do for Him. For what you do for Him. That is what you're rewarded on. What do you do for Him? Because God will judge you. Christ will judge you. And He'll be the judge, not I. It'll be He that hands out the rewards and not I. I'll be being judged myself by Him for what I've done for Him. So, what are you going to do for Him? Now, the reason I preach this message tonight is because obviously we want to pull the load, amen. And we want to do it together, amen. And the only way that we can do it together, of course, is with Christ. But also the only way we can do it together is by doing something. Amen. By doing something. That's the only way. That's the only way. And I'll tell you what, the truth of the matter is I couldn't be happier with most of you that come out for soul winning on Thursday night. Because we'll have 27, 28, 29 people. I mean, it was great last Thursday night. We had 28 people here. I mean, we just lost like three from that count and three or four. And we got like 28 people here Thursday night. That's great. Once we figured out Blaze was here, amen, he was just hiding out outside. But 28 people. Our church is a large church. Folks, there's people that, we had somebody, and I'm trying to remember who it was now, somebody had come from someplace that was from a larger church. And I think it was a Spanish lady had come. And she said her church, I think she was from California or someplace. So will they go out and do this? And she said, to my wife, she said, I'm just amazed, she said, how many people you got out here tonight. She said, our church, we go. She said, but maybe 10 or 15 people. And she said, but our church is huge. My wife's like, well, how big's your church? She said, like over 1,000 people. Like over 1,000 people, and they got like 10 or 15 people come to go out soul winning and tell folks about Christ. And we run maybe 115 or 20 on Sunday morning. That includes kids coming on buses and everything else. And we can have 28 people come out on Thursday night. I think that's pretty good. I'm glad about that. So I'm pleased. Doesn't mean I don't want more, because I do. Amen. But I'm pleased by that. I think that's a good testimony. But we've got to have doers. The only way we're going to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ is by getting to their door with the gospel. Amen. That takes doers to do that. Amen. Takes doers. Takes doers. Praise God for that. Now, we want to have doers. Amen. That's the truth. We want to get the job done. Amen. We want to pull the load. Amen. We've got to have people that are committed to our church. Amen. We can't have folks that act like Demas. Say, preacher, how did Demas act? Well, let me tell you what Paul had to say about him. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There are fundamentalists, I'm sorry, maybe I should say evangelicals, who don't like to be doers. They want everything to be fun. They want social activities to revolve around everything. They want church to be at their convenience. They want to cancel church services for family nights. The problem is with those kind of Christians, they never really do much for God. That's the problem with that. And they want everything to be at their convenience. Now, I'm all for having fun. I'm all for having fun activities, but only after the business is taken care of the Lord's business. Yeah. Only then am I for that, because we've got to do something. Listen, there's like 300,000 people live in this area of Lincoln here. We've got the job to get the gospel to them, amen, because I would say a majority of them are perishing and on their way to hell tonight, and shame on any Baptist churches in our town that don't go soul winning to tell them about Jesus to try to help reach them, amen, because we've got to be a church that's full of doers because they need saving, amen. So, preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. Too bad. God doesn't like laziness either. Let's not be lazy preachers, amen. Like my preacher said, lazy rascals, amen. Let's not be lazy rascals. God dislikes lazy preachers. Preachers that don't win souls. Preachers that don't preach the full counsel of God. Preachers that refuse to stand up against the heifers in the church, amen. God dislikes that kind of a Baptist preacher, amen. I decided when I was called to be a preacher by God, I was going to be a doer, amen. That's what I decided. Say, why is that, preacher? Because the whole country is going to the devil. That's why.
It's going to hell in a handbasket. We've got to try to stop what we can.
God said to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, they like to hear you preach.
They love to hear your voice. It's like a musical instrument to them, Ezekiel.
They say to the neighbors, come and hear him. But wait a minute, Ezekiel.
They don't do what you say, though. They just come and hear. They don't do what you say.
It's not enough tonight, folks, for you to come to Lincoln Baptist Church. It's not enough for you just to like my preaching. It's not enough for you just to like to hear our singing groups. It's not enough for you just to like our church or like our fellowship dinners. We all like those, amen. It's not enough for you to like my stand, amen. But it's do something for God, amen. That's what we need. The world's perishing, amen. He said, why call me Lord and do not the things which I say, is what he said.
Gather around the water. Gather around the sword. Gather. Hey, suppose Ezekiel or Jeremiah, he called the word of God a hammer. Amen, a hammer. And is not the word of God like a hammer? Amen, is what he said in the Bible. Now, what does that mean? Gather around the hammer. Amen. Now, we don't just gather around it to do nothing with it. Amen. You wouldn't expect some carpenter to come along and just grab a hammer and just stand there with it and say, boy, this is a nice hammer. Wow, I really like this hammer. This is good. I like it. Looks good. I just want to look at it.
I believe in it. I believe it will drive nails straight.
It's polished. The handle looks like it would feel nice if I actually picked it up.
Come on, folks. Let's look at this hammer. Carpenters, come on. Has a meeting of the carpenters and calls about 10 of them over. And they all circle around and they say, man, you really got a nice hammer there. That's a hammer. I mean, with a hammer like that, just think what could be done. I said, yeah, I like it. I'm thinking about encasing it. And maybe just, y'all can come over sometimes and we'll look at it. Amen. We'll see. That's just a nice hammer. Man, I'm so happy. If I could just get some silver nails to go with it, it'd be nice. We'll get those and we'll lay those in there too and it'll look good. And say, well, wait a minute now, preacher. This guy's a carpenter. What's he going to do with it? Exactly. Is he just going to look at the hammer? If he's a carpenter, what's he going to do? He's going to build something with it, amen? He's going to do something with it. Hey, Jeremiah said that word of God's like a hammer, amen? Don't just look at it. Don't just believe in it. But do it. Amen. It says, thus saith the Lord. Go ahead and put some footwork to that, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Go ahead and take that hammer and go ahead and build that thing up. Amen. Go ahead and take that hammer, build that church. Amen. Go ahead and get busy for God, winning souls. Go ahead and get busy for God, teaching a Sunday school class. Go ahead and get busy for God, working a bus route. Amen. Go ahead and get busy for God, visit little bus kids. Amen. Go ahead and get busy for God, helping families come to church. Amen. Go ahead and get busy God for God, helping reach those families and their kids for Christ. Amen. Go ahead and get busy for God. Go and get busy for God cleaning the church, amen. Go and get busy for God. Help with that roofing project, amen. It's going to be coming up sometime. Go and get busy for God, amen. Help build something around the church needs fixing, amen. Go and get busy for God. Amen. I'll tell you what, I went about a year and a half ago. No, it wasn't even a year and a half ago. No, it was right after I built these steps out back here. And I can't remember what it was. I got some money for something from somebody for something. I don't know. Maybe it was Christmas time. And I told my wife, I said, I got a couple $100. I said, I'm going to go buy something for myself with this money this time. A lot of times we take that money, pay a bill or something. I need money. I said, I'm going to go buy something. She said, what you going to go buy? I said, man, I'm going over to Menards. She said, what you going to buy at Menards? Because usually I go to Lowe's, amen. And I said, well, they got a compressor on sale over there. And she said, what you going to do with a compressor? I said, well, they got some nail guns. Amen. I said, I'm going to get me some nail guns to go with that compressor. Amen. I said, the compressor is on sale for $99. I said, 5-gallon twin compressor. I said, I'm going to get me that three-pack nail gun set.
Amen. Framer and some other things and braid gun and so forth. I said, I'm going to get that. Amen. And I said, I'm going to buy it. And she said, what you going to do with that? I said, I'm going to build stuff with it. Amen. Amen. And that's what I did. I bought that thing. It's end of December. I said, man, this looks so nice. I said, I wish I could go build something. I said, I want to build something with this thing. I said, I wish I would have had this in October when I was building them steps. I said, it would have been a lot easier, amen. I said, I'm hammering in these big long nails with a hammer, amen. I said, now this thing, you just take that thing like, tsh, 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 tsh. I said, man, that thing, I said, boy, I said, look at that compressor, honey. I said, don't it look nice? She said, yep. I had it in the living room for a week. She said, when are you going to take that thing out of here? I said, but, I said, I can't take it out of here. I said, I want to look at it. I mean, if I want to look at it, I said, it ain't going to do me no good in the garage. I can't see it out there. I said, I want to look at it. I mean, after all, I done fired it up three times just to make sure it pump air in, amen. And then release it. I said, but nobody buys a compressor like that and doesn't use it. I mean, every time I get a chance, bless God, I use that thing. I come down, I put this trim on here, amen. She said, what you doing that big compressor? I said, I'm going to get it out, amen. She said, for trim? I said, sure. I said, I got to use it. Amen. I said, man, I put that trim up. I said, man, you got that up already? I said, yeah. I said, man, that thing's fast. I said, man, take me twice as much time with that hammer and nail. I said, forget that. I said, I'll put that thing up with that framer. I said, I just use a little staple gun thing, for a little braid gun, I'm sorry, for the trim. But I said, I tack it up. I said, now come along, put a few nails in to secure it up for these big buffalo head like blades that sit up here on this platform all the time, always knocking it off. But I'm sorry. Big heads like Josue. And I've already picked on Blaze too much. So I said, you know, this thing's great. Man, we built that office down there. I said, we need to have more office space. But Jonathan said, man, I need to find some place that, I mean, he's here all summer, you know. And, I mean, we have this two desks in there. And when he's here, I told my wife, I said, man, I cannot wait until he leaves. I said, good night. I said, I can't do anything in there. I said, man, I get in there, I sit down. I said, I need to get up and go out. I said, will you move out of the way? I said, I got to get out. I said, he needs his own space. And I said, come to think of it, I said, these count room guys, I said, we need to get them out of here too. And I said, listen, I said, I can think of no better excuse, I said, to get my compressor out than to build a new office downstairs, amen. And bless God, guess what, man? 2 days later, we got an office downstairs, amen. I went and bought the lumber, man. I framed that thing up. I said, man, this thing is great. Man, I got that thing going. I mean, then I get roped into building a room for Brother Rashidi's house, new house he bought. And he said, you're like a professional. I said, no. I was using that gun over his house. I said, told my wife. I said, bless God. I said, I'm going to be sorry I ever bought this thing. Amen. I said, now I'm going to be framing out everybody's basement. Amen. I said, I'm going to be so sick of using this thing. It's going to be. But you buy it to use it, not just look at it. Amen. It was nice to look at for a while. But I said, we want to use it. You know, I mean, my God, I'm just at home, I mean, hoping some board will fall off and I can get an excuse to get the thing out and say, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. I mean, I fixed that most you never see that thing down there by the men's restroom, goes out the back, all that plywood and everything's all rotted out. I fixed that, and I said, hon, I said, guess what, I got to get that compressor out. I said, that'll be great. I bought a couple pieces of plywood. I mean, I'm back there. I mean, I'm gunning that thing. And she says, you think you got enough nails in that thing? I said, yeah, I'm just trying it out. She said, it sounds like you're playing with it. I said, well, it's a lot of fun. I said, I probably got three times more nails than I need in this thing. But I said, bless God, I said, at least it'll hold up. But you get something like that, you want to do something with it, amen? Ezekiel said, it's not good enough just to like my preaching, but you need to do something with my preaching, amen? Might I say the same thing? Don't just hear me preach tonight, but do something with the preaching of the Word of God, amen? I preach being faithful to church on the Lord's Day. That means you ought to be faithful to church on the Lord's Day, amen? Don't roll into town late one Saturday night and decide to sleep in late for Sunday and try to say you're out of town. and forsaking your responsibilities to God's house and put it on somebody else's lap all the time. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on people like that. Amen. Be a doer instead of just a hearer of the Word of God. Now, what can we do? What should a Christian do? Let me give you two things just very quickly. Three things very quickly, I'm sorry. Number one, in the first place, every Christian ought to find a job to do with the church. Amen. A Bible-preaching church ought to have jobs in the church. Amen. Whether it's helping kids across the street, amen, to the bus, whether it's ushering the aisles, whether it's working in the nursery, whether it's helping on a bus route, whether for some maybe teaching a Sunday school class, but every Christian ought to find a job to do in the church. Amen. Some of you fellas have done a good job ushering all these years. God's going to look favorably upon that. Why? Because you're doing something. Amen. You're doing something. You're doing something. Brother Foff, God's going to look favorably on all those donuts you handed out. Well, maybe. I don't know if he appreciates all the health problems you've created over the years, but every pound that he's gained has been for Jesus, amen? Number two, every Christian ought to be a witness for Christ, amen? What wouldst thou have me to do? Why call me Lord and do not the things that I say, amen? Friends, if you do whatsoever I have commanded you, and the commandment was to go and bring forth fruit, every Christian ought not only to have a job in the church, but also to go soul winning. Amen. To tell folks about Christ. And number three, lastly, every Christian ought to be ready to volunteer for a special task in the church. Amen. Primary example, snow removal. And I shouldn't have to beg, but rather some of the men should be calling me saying, when it's snowing, preacher, when we're going to move in the snow. And by the way, we've been doing better at that, amen. I shouldn't have to gripe about things like that. Should just be having people willing to volunteer for something special that comes up. And be a volunteer when you know something special is coming up, something that needs to be done, amen. Be a volunteer. You know that roof's going to come up. Try to look for a chance to help out if you can. Now, I'm not expecting some 75, 80-year-old man in here to be out here picking up roof shingles. That's not what I'm saying. But there are some who could help out because I'll tell you what, when the time comes, I don't know when it's going to be. It's going to be when that roofer wants to do it. But he's going to be looking for helpers to help pick up that stuff that's going to be dropped off the roof here. And he and his crew aren't going to do that part. So guess what? That means we're going to have to do that part. Amen. Now, I'll be out there doing my part, amen, to try to help pick that up. But I suspect it's going to be a bigger job than just I can do. Amen. I'm glad Brother Hodex already volunteered. Amen. But I told him he didn't even have to bother. We just figured him in already. Amen. A tough labor job. Just figure that you're figured in, brother. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Be a doer of the Word of God and not a hearer only. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight.